It's Tuesday night, December 8th.
Lord, we ask for your visiting us tonight, Lord, that again we would have special light into your word, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
It has just not been an ordinary insight that you have granted to us. It's been extraordinary. Something only the Spirit could provide. We thank you for that. We ask that that be what occurs tonight, that there would just be a special light onto things of your word, things we just would not know otherwise. Spend 1,000 years in the natural, never see it. Your light shines, and there it is. We ask for that by your Spirit.
Yes,
we thank you for your goodness. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I was told, a few years ago, or quite a few years ago, that in order to find God, we had to look for him where he was, where he is. And through the, it didn't take long before, on the inside, I was made to know that the only place that God could be found is in what he had to say, in his word, in revealed by the Holy Spirit. And I think that's kind of become a revelation and understanding to us. And one of the things that I has really been in my mind the last couple of days is I think there's a scripture someplace, I could not find it today, at least one, that says that we are to know the will of God. And we are given some scripture that give us the will of God, but deeper than that, it's kind of like, and I'll explain what I'm talking about here in a second, but the scriptures that we have out of 1 Timothy, it says, and this is the will of God. Or no, how does it say that? And God's will is that all men should be saved. And then I double it because it's actually saying the same thing. And God's will is that all men should come to the knowledge of the truth. And but I think there's a scripture setting. It tells us that we are to know the will of God. And which would be for us and for situations, circumstances, things that is vital to us. And I couldn't think of how it was worded, and I couldn't find it. And maybe it's what I am thinking is wrong. I'm not sure. But when Jesus was in Gethsemane, and he was praying, and he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And he, before that, he had sweated drops of blood I'm not sure why, but I think it had to do with the fact that he, I think he knew what God's will was for him. I mean, he wasn't in the dark as far as knowing what, he knew what God wanted done, what he had to do. And is why he said, nevertheless, not my will. And he was willing to do the Father's will. And do you find any scriptures that...
Well, a few, but maybe Acts 22:14.
I know I've heard something on that word.
What does it say?
The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the one who has God's approval, and to hear him speak to you.
Who? Ancestors who?
Everybody? You know who that was being said to?
There's a few references to will. 6:22.
Ananias looks as though he was saying it to Paul.
Okay. God has chosen Paul to know God's will. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, Ananias says the God of our ancestors has chosen you, Paul, to know the will, to know His will. But that's what's inferred.
Would that then apply to every real honest God-seeking Christian or not? I mean, is it God's will that I know His will?
Well, I think it is. How else are you going to be in His will? Come to be in His will. Not that you would know, but I'm sure it says it somewhere else for us. I know.
No, I can't imagine.
I've read something besides that one up there with Paul.
Well, there's John 7:17. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teachings is from God. Romans 12:2. Then you will learn to know God's will for you.
There's a good one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay. And you will learn to know God's will for you. And I'm thinking. I'm thinking that God wants to reveal His will for us individually. What our part is it? You know, it's like it's, ours might be different than somebody else's, but
right.
But the point was, Jesus was not just kind of running around in circles wondering exactly what was going to happen. He knew what God was going to do. You know? He knew He was going to die on the cross. And
I just read that. Yeah. There's a place where it says, He said, because of the resurrection, He has set His face to go to Galilee. I think it was, or Judea. So anyway, and that was early.
Yeah.
I just read it twice too, in the gospel. Maybe I can find that.
Well, King James does not read the way I read, so I'm kind of looking at other translations.
There is today's New International Version that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will. New Living Bible is that you will know what God wants you to do, which is basically you will.
Romans 12:2?
Yep.
The New Living Translation?
Yep.
Huh. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's according to that, that's the NL New Living Translation.
Huh.
So it's like,
it's basically the same idea, but I got different words here.
Yeah.
There was version one and version two of that.
Both living, or was one the NIV?
No, it's New Living Translation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the NIV is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
I think that's basically saying no God's will.
Yeah.
So that is a real weakness and shortcoming as far as Christianity. You know what I mean?
Oh.
The Christian people just kind of, they're like nomads. You know, they don't have a purpose. And but I get the sense from the scriptures that God wants to reveal His will, the will for us. I mean, what His will is for us, to us. And so that we're not, it's not that we have a goal because we don't know exactly how God's going to do anything. And yet we do have a goal. You know, this is what God wants, He's going to do. This is what He wants to do through me. This is what He wants to do through us. And I think the first church, even before the day of Pentecost, well, not necessarily before, but on the day of Pentecost, they begin to know God's, He started doing things. They begin to know what God wanted to do. And so they went forward and moved in the Spirit and the Holy, and Christ, actually Christ was working in them, with them, confirming God's word with signs following, you know. So the Lord was working with them and in them. And I don't know whether it says in them, but he was in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, he was working in them, and it was Him in people. Just like miracles that we have seen, it was Christ in us, or Christ with us, or Christ whatever, that was doing the work. It wasn't any of us doing that work. And I have seen some miraculous things, but I didn't do anything. Sometimes I didn't even have the faith to say that I had anything to do with it. But the Bible says, if anybody is sick among you, you know, let them call for the elders and let them pray over them, and how to say it, and God will is that in James?
Yeah, there is yeah.
James 5, maybe? I gotta get a lighter Bible. Have stronger arms.
Set light like it is.
Can you get that, Ken?
Yep.
There's a little thing right here.
Oh, yeah.
I know what I need to do to wrap that right around me. Yeah, thank you.
While you're looking that up, it was in Luke 9. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And that's in the same chapter as when, you know, the transfiguration. So it's early in his walk that he was already, you know, setting himself to be received up by the Father.
Well, he prophesied several times.
Yeah.
That he's going to be.
But then, you know, like we've said,
That knowledge is not there when
all the time, yeah.
Right.
I was just thinking about having a conversation with someone who's, you know, Jesus is God, and you go, well, what's this about great drops of blood?
Yeah, we said that, I think you said that Sunday night.
I was thinking about that. Every demon in hell must have been coming against him at that time. You know, it was,
yeah.
You had to be pushing against that to be able to get out the words, not my will, but thy will be done.
You know, and I was reading and I was reading about when Jesus, the disciples asked, well, when is this going to be that all this happens about, you know, the end? And in all the cases, that a few scriptures or verses down, he says, and no one knows the time or the day, not the angels, not man, not the Son. Now, yeah. Isn't that interesting?
It is. Yeah.
He's God, but he doesn't know when God's going to do everything.
He's got a kind of a non-omniscient God,
yeah,
going on there.
Yeah.
Well, it's a, there may be a reason. Because if people knew exactly that, they would
they'd jump
around until it got time, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you'd expect Jesus behave a little more responsibly, but for whatever reason, it wasn't given him to know things.
No, not that part. But he gives a pretty good description of everything. And there is a little key. It says when all these things have come to the... this generation will not pass. So,
okay.
He's not talking about the one where he's at the time. He's talking about the one that when this happens, that generation will not pass.
Right.
That I was. We don't have to do it tonight, but if you think about it, it's in Matthew and Luke, I think. But in Matthew, but it's. If you read through that whole thing, I couldn't get a good grasp on a couple things about time, you know, because the first part makes it look like you're going to see this tribulation, but then he's going to, you know, take you out. And then it goes on, it kind of hits on it again, and then it, I don't know, it's just kind of odd. Because, you know, we were talking a little bit before, like, you know, are you gonna take a certain special people out of the way before all the tribulation or not, you know? And so it's, yeah, so I was reading in that area, and both of them, I didn't get to see if it's, or no, I was trying to, it's in Matthew and Mark, I think. I haven't found it yet. And Luke, if it does it or not, and I didn't get to John, but. And just say what chapter.
I don't think there is anything prophetic in John along those lines.
Yeah.
I was struck when Keith was talking about their 2 Timothy. It is his. God's will that all men should come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, I think we kind of, we probably haven't said it, but we sort of assume that this knowledge of the truth is kind of reserved for, I hesitate to say select few, but I don't know, whatever they're, what other term to use. But God's will is that all men should come to a knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, it's not that they will. That his will is that they would.
Right. It's not necessarily that it's going to happen. Now, on the other hand, if it is his will that occur, he will set things up in such a way that it's not hidden in a way that only the very few can find, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, because in Matthew 7 it says, few there be that find it.
Yeah.
And where the scripture says, many are called, but only few are chosen. And that's kind of a troubling a couple of scriptures, you know.
No, I know.
And one parable, they said, well, why do you keep saying in parables? And then it gives that setting from the Old Testament.
So yeah.
Because you think you see, how does it say that? Those who see won't see, or those who want to hear can't hear, or something?
Yeah.
Well, this, that dream that I had, which is almost as vivid right now as it was 50 years ago, and where I saw the people out in the field, and the clouds kind of covered them all, and then the sound of the trumpet, and they were all lifted up off the earth. Well, that's a dream. Is that a real dream? Is that a real thing that's going to happen? And then I was pointed towards the book of Revelation, the third chapter, where it's talking about the Philadelphia church. And Philadelphia, that's in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, but that doesn't mean that was the church they were talking about.
No.
The Philadelphia church is a different one. Yeah.
The one in Pennsylvania got named after the one in Revelation.
Yeah.
But, It's a strange setting in the third chapter. And whereas other churches have been kind of rebuked more than these weren't necessarily, didn't necessarily say that they were doing everything good, but it said they had a little strength. It's kind of strange, you know? You have a little strength. You have not. Or you have kept my word, or how does it say that? There it is. Okay, I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Is that an objective? Should that be an objective?
Mm-hmm.
You have a little strength, and I have set before you an open door. No man can shut it. I would feel that that's all part of the same package. For you have a little strength, you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Then I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Christians, it says Jews here, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. And then, verse 10, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. And see, these things all kind of make me think of that of the dream that I had. The Lord is coming. Behold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. And him that overcome, will, cometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So, what was the scripture that you read that looked like that maybe he was going to take somebody, take some out? Was it in Luke? Can you read a scripture a little bit ago or find one that said something like that?
I think maybe Ken did.
Ken might have. I don't think I did. I was not doing it about
taking them out.
Well, or something. Or keep them.
There's that area I was talking about is Matthew 24, where it
yeah, at the end, you know, where okay, that's what you mean by take. Not everybody was fewer called, you know, men are called, fewer chosen than on that day.
It's what now? I picked up on something. It says, I don't know why, that's why you can't, you got to realize he's saying things for them too, but it says, and some, it says to flee to Judea. Well, that wouldn't apply to us, I don't think so. Let those who are in, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. But, you know, but then it also said, let him who was on the housetop go down, not go down.
Heard that related to the Romans sacking Jerusalem in 70 A.D.
But that
tore it all apart.
Yeah, but that would mean then that should have been the end.
Well, it was certainly the end of organized Jewry.
Yeah. Well, because it refers to nations in a lot of it, too. You know, the nations will... Or one kingdom against another kingdom, one nation against another nation. Yeah. For one nation will rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So that's there. But then, you know, I don't know. Then you go over, and it's still in the same chapter, and he uses Noah, you know.
Fact is, we won't know what we need to know until we need to know it.
Right. It's funny. It sounds like in one part, even though you're chosen or elect, you'll still see tribulation. Well, yeah, because it says, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That means the elect are there, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then it goes immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon, you know. That's why I said, that's where I was having a little, you know, not sure about what it's really referring, what times. Because that's when the sun of the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. It's right after that.
And the thing, I know this is a strange thing to say, I suppose, but Enoch was translated. He was out, taken out. And we really didn't have any, I don't know that there was anything that said he was going to be. And I wondered about you know, what happened to Moses. And remember, didn't we see a scripture the other day that said that Michael or somebody was disputing with the devil over the body of Moses?
Right, yeah, Jude.
Yeah, and it's like, I wonder how many other people that are not recorded in there, they walked with God and God took them. Just because we don't see something in the Bible doesn't mean something else didn't happen, you know? God does what God does. And he may have seen a number of Enochs down through the years, you know? And just because we don't know what happened to him doesn't mean that he didn't take him, you know? And I'm wondering about this setting in to the Church of Philadelphia. What I saw in the dream, I did not manufacture. That's what I saw. And it doesn't mean that everything I have in a dream is not. But I don't think I'd had any pizza that night or had been drinking any strong drinks. And as a matter of fact, no, I wasn't. But that was a real vivid experience, and I can remember the thing almost exactly like it happened 50 years ago. And when I saw what it said in Revelation to the Philadelphia church, I thought, you know what? To those who do God's will, that's why I'm talking about that. You know, those who know His will and obey His will and walk with Him, like Enoch did, if they do, he's liable to take them out. You know, what else does that mean in the book of Revelation? I will keep them. Where is he going to keep them? But what I saw, that wasn't really the harpazo or some of the things that Don Manette used to talk about as a rapture. But here it says, I will keep them. What's he going to do? And what happened to those people that were in this cloud? They weren't gone. They were lifted up off the earth. Mm-hmm. Where did he keep them? Did he have a little place ready for them someplace? Or am I misreading it?
Well, that means there's probably more than one thing then.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Because I'm going to read just a few scriptures here. But in this Matthew 24, it says, take heed, is how it starts, that no one deceives you. So that's kind of saying that's the people that he's chosen, more, you know, the elect, I guess. And then it says, all these other gangs are, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and da-da-da. Then you go over to 29. Immediately after tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, and this is what kind of got me, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. not necessarily gather them out of the world, but then it says a little differently somewhere else. It says the earth and the heavens. So, I mean, that could be the people that have died and are his elect, I suppose, that are, you know. So that's kind of weird, you know. That setting there kind of says, well, you're going to go through some stuff where, like you're saying, it seems like there's a place where, well, he will keep you from the day of tribulation. Isn't that what it says in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's what I was trying to get a little bit of a hold on by reading through this, and it doesn't really just give you a definite answer.
You found that hole to be elusive, did you?
Yeah. We are not going to be able to nail down in the natural.
Well, no, I'm not saying you know the days coming, but you should know the times. Because he's giving you, you know, these hints of what's going to be going on at the time, you know.
I guess the issue is whether there's going to be a rapture in which his elect avoid tribulation, or is there not going to be such a thing?
Because it says, therefore, when, here's what you got to know. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and in parentheses, whoever reads, let him understand Daniel 9. Then let the, you know, then it says, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains and whatever. But, I mean, so you know things are very close if you see something like that.
Okay.
But you won't know if it could be still be a year, it could be a month, it could be a day, you know.
Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Now Zion actually is, it's not referring to our church.
No.
It's talking to the land of Israel, you know, it says, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord comes, it is nigh at hand. Here's what it is. It's a day of darkness, of gloominess, a day of clouds, of thick darkness, as the morning, spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not ever been the like, neither shall it be any more, even to the years of many generations, which looks like it's already taken place, or.
No, where are you reading this?
This is a Joel.
Oh, okay.
And a fire burns before them, and behind them a flame burns. It's like forest fire. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. That's kind of scary. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours a stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their faces the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. All faces, it says. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways. They shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall, they shall climb upon the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, the stars shall withdraw their shine, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who could abide it?
Powerful stuff's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be his people.
Somehow I believe that that's, maybe it's the angels, the angels God's talking about, but I don't believe it.
No, it doesn't sound like that.
No, I think they're people.
But that's kind of, it's kind of a abstract, it's kind of like when Revelation gives some of its descriptions, they don't fit like what we would see today, because maybe it's saying it in a way that we haven't understood it yet.
Yeah.
You know,
abstract.
Yeah, yeah.
On the other hand, it does convey great strength that is going to be with these people, and they are going to be disrupting all the stuff that's in front of them. I think that's safe to conclude all that.
It's kind of a little bit like the two witnesses who can call down fire and stop the rain, and create a pestilence and everything else.
Power there.
Yeah, there's power.
I don't know where I heard this. But while we sit here in this nation and we think that, it's kind of a nation that God can use or whatever else, there is a revival that's kind of rising up worldwide. There's a lot of people that are coming into our relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, it says in here that Jesus says, and you will bring this gospel to all the nations. You know? So,
I have, we have a tendency to really miss the point, and I am no exception. And,
with their own devices, we always miss the point.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
And I got thinking, well, they got to come into the revelation of the oneness of the Jesus as a man and all of these things. And then I thought back when God healed Jerome, or when Smith Wigglesworth was healing people, raising them from the dead. He was a Trinitarian. And we know that that's false doctrine. And something to come up the other day, I don't know what we were talking about it, and it's like, oh, I know, it was over this Amy, whatever her name is, it's a spirit-filled Kathy. And it's like,
Barrett Coney.
Huh?
Amy Barrett Coney, I believe
yeah.
It is.
Coney Barrett.
Coney Barrett.
And it's like, how could she be a Catholic and God still use her? And it's like, God doesn't use you based upon who you are. He uses you based upon what he's going to make you up into. I didn't see a Trinitarian. Because God opened the door so that I got truth. And she don't necessarily have to stay a Catholic or whatever else, or neither does anybody else. And the revivals where God has poured out his spirit, the one that was down in Pensacola or even Azusa Street or any of these things, we don't know what God brought out of that. Don Burnett's dad was in the latter part of the Azusa Street revival.
You know, I think he shines his light on some things and not on others. And particular works are getting done, but and it can be a powerful work, but it's not all the work. And, you know, I believe that someone can be nominally a Trinitarian, but the understanding that they have in their spirit or whatever can be of the humanity of Christ.
Yeah.
Now, the Lord has not seen fit to put focus on that thing for those people at any one particular time. His focus is on something else. That's not to deny the truth of the humanity of Christ. It's just that the spotlight is on a different thing for different people at different times.
You guys keep talking, I'll be right back.
No.
Okay.
Hey, you know how many times I got up Sunday night? Just happened that way. I was looking forward to the 19th of January.
Yeah. And it did old.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that I mean, I used to think, well, once you got to be spirit filled, you know. But that's not an absolute guarantee either.
No,
that you'll continue on, you know.
No, there's all sorts of fanatical spirit filled people.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like in God, so he uses somebody that's, say, a Trinitarian. Well, he also used Pharaoh, and he also used, you know, I mean, not in the, well, kind of in the same sense, but it's because he wanted to show who he was, you know. So you never know how, what he's doing, you know, and why. I mean, she might go on and not be a Catholic and become, know the humanity of Christ, or she may go backwards. Who knows? I may go backwards. Yeah. You know? I mean, there's no absolute guarantee. I think you can be pretty confident in your own heart where you're at for the most part. But you don't want to get too cocky about it either because, you know?
I don't. There was a time, I don't know how long ago, 30 years ago maybe, I don't know, my boss was a charismatic Catholic, and he invited me to a prayer meeting that they have. And I went to, I don't know, 7-8 meetings, and I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord was just really fresh and good there. It just was. Fresh and good.
Yeah.
It was, you know. Now, there was some, you know, a little cuckoo stuff going on. But a lot of just plain, really solid, good truth, too, was being brought with that stuff. It just fresh manna.
Yeah. Now, how long ago was that?
Oh, maybe 30 years ago.
It'd be interesting to see where all of that went.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I can remember this. Remember the one, there was the one singer that came out, and he was a spirit-filled Catholic, and he was real adamant about it, and, you know, and everything, and was speaking out pretty openly, you know? And then all of a sudden, a little, maybe a year or so, I never heard anything about him again. I don't know what happened. You know, if he, maybe he just thought, maybe he got a lot of flack and decided to just pull back and be his own walk, you know, or whatever. I have no idea. So you just don't know, you know. Because that, yeah, why wouldn't God go in and try to open something up and bring them out of whatever they're in, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, how else? You know?
Uh-huh.
You,
uh-huh.
It's kind of like you don't have people get cleaned up before they come in to repent.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
I mean, it's like...
So why shouldn't... Yeah.
Yeah. So why can't God do it? He can move on anybody.
Uh-huh.
And they're not just going to automatically drop every... We didn't. I didn't. You know, it's a process.
Yeah.
Well, it says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. That would suggest you don't have all truth before.
Yeah.
You don't.
And then there's another little key facet to that, if you allow Him to.
Yeah.
If you're open to Him guiding you into all truth, you know.
And a lot of people aren't.
Well, and I, you know, I got to keep reminding myself that I need to just listen.
Uh-huh.
Don't try to, you know.
Yes.
Study to be approved, you know, or whatever.
And the routes are different. The routes are different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, she very possibly, that's Supreme Court. Yeah. Very possibly.
We don't know, but we can't write her out. That's what I mean.
Well, no.
And maybe she knows some things that we have not yet come into.
Yeah.
That could be.
And people, I mean, if they're saying he's their God and they're say they're in offices that are high up, well, he can be doing a real different work on them, you know. I mean, I think it's funny. Most I think there's a whole lot of them that have I think testified that when they got into the Oval Office, they probably got more spiritual because all of a sudden they realized all the weight of that position and they couldn't, they kind of realized, I can't do this on my own.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a lot of them that were, it, you know, where it said, yeah, I needed to pray to find out, you know, and da da da.
Yeah.
So.
I think that was certainly true of Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, I just would never want to have that. I'd never want to be a president of the United States. You know, I wouldn't want to be the head of any country. But now, hey, you know, I was just thinking the other day. When did the kingship end in Israel? Where they were no more kings. Because now it's like prime minister and everything. It's kind of a democracy, isn't it, more or less?
Oh, it is. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a democracy.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
so when did...
I guess with the Babylonian captivity, there were no more... There was no...
Oh, yeah. It probably shows that in the Old Testament, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because there was... Was there judges before kings? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Then the kings, and then kind of after that, it's prophets. I don't remember reading in the Old Testament a term that would be equivalent to prime minister or something,
no,
you know, or a consul, you know.
Yeah. It,
so I'm just
maybe the Sanhedrin was somehow.
Oh, that now something like
you're,
that. Yeah.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
The Kingdom of Israel existed as an independent state until 731 BC when it was conquered by the Assyrian Empire, while the Kingdom of Judea, the Southern Kingdom, existed as an independent state when it was conquered by the Babylonian Empire. So once they all got taken away, the country was invaded, and king was defeated, and
yeah, because kingdom means there's a king, right? It's supposed to be that.
Now, there was a King Herod there in the time of Jesus, but I think he was sort of a figurehead, and really it was the Romans that were calling the shots.
Yeah.
He was, so it was, to call him a king was stretching the meaning of the word. It was the Romans that were in charge. And before that, I think it was the Greeks. Or Alexander the Great, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then John the Baptist and Jesus came preaching, they said the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is that, you know, it tells us that that Jesus will be seated on the King of David, or on the throne of David forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they were looking for. They were looking for a restoration of the kingdom.
Yeah.
After that Babylonian captivity, they wanted the Messiah to be it, you know.
But
then the disciples asked Jesus, when will the kingdom be restored? They're in the book of Acts, you know.
And the disciples understood that that Jesus was going to be a king. Or at least I think they had it in their minds. And they said, and so James and John said, could we, one of us, be set on either side of you?
Yeah. Everywhere in the New Testament, or everywhere that Jesus is speaking, it's always kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. There is no earthly kingdom in ever mentioned.
Yeah. Did you find something there, Corky?
Well, King Herod was appointed by the Roman Empire to be called, to be designated as the king of the Jews. So King Herod was a Roman and named to be king of the Jews, so that the Jews had a king.
Right.
But he was a Roman.
Well, but, I mean, he was probably Jewish blood.
He was no king.
Right, but he was born with a Roman citizenship, as well as, you know, being
he was an Edomite.
Who was?
King Herod was an Edomite. Edomite.
Yeah. Ediomite or whatever?
Ediomite?
I don't know.
I am adding an N there. Ediomite. Yeah. But my recollection was like, here's all I didn't, you know, who is this king here? When, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Jews really, when they were looking to the leader, they were going to who was the head priest. That was really their leader.
Well,
who's in charge of the synagogue?
And then when Pontius was, or one of them was trying to give him back, they said, "Well, we have no king but Caesar."
Yeah, right.
You know, we don't totally want him as a king.
Totally gave up their birthright and got chosen. It's a
they've given everything up there.
Yeah.
You know, at the time of the birth of Jesus, though, that King Herod was mighty touchy about his role.
Yeah, his position there, wasn't he?
Which, since he really didn't call the shots around there.
Is that, he was a pretty sly guy, too. He thought he was going to find out where he was at, the way he was presenting it to those
wise men,
and they had the Spirit working for them, and they saw through that.
Yeah. But we may worship him too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You really can't pull the wool over God's eyes. That's true.
No.
No.
People act like they can sometimes, but.
Yeah.
Right.
About it for tonight, or does anybody else have any other?